This is 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. I'm Corey Crow, and we're here at Two Dudes Brew & Q in downtown Monroe, 436 Desiard, for Policy and a Pint. And today we're talking about crime in the Twin Cities. We've got a panel that's wide and varied in their experiences, and at this time I'd like to introduce our panel to you. First, Garden District resident Franz Hill is with us. And Franz, thank you for being here tonight. How long have you lived in Monroe and in the Garden District?
We've lived in Monroe since 1996 and in the Garden District since 2001.
And you live there. You also have a business in that part of town as well in Monroe?
Yes, my wife and two kids, Lexington, Lee, Neville. We're that family. And we own a couple of businesses in the Garden District. My wife works for the City of Monroe as the Director of Planning and Urban Development. And I'm just a citizen. I'm frankly flattered to be asked. One of my neighbors recommended me, Ruth Ulrich, in the Garden District Neighborhood Alliance, so that's why I'm here.
Well, we appreciate you coming out, and as you said, you're a member of the Garden District Neighborhood Alliance. We'll talk a little bit about what they've got going on and what they do coming up. In the center tonight, for our folks who are watching our video, Sergeant C.J. Beck. And Sergeant Beck, what do you do for the West Monroe Police Department?
Well, I've been with West Monroe for 21 years, 18 years as a full-time police officer. I'm a crisis negotiator, lead negotiator with the department. I'm public information officer for West Monroe. I've been doing that 4 years. I'm currently assigned to the patrol division as a patrol sergeant. And we do bike patrol, and I'm part of all that.
And on the end here with us this evening, representing the Monroe Police, is Major Vincent Gutierrez. We thought Chief Ellis would be with us tonight, but we're glad to have you with us in his stead. Tell me about what you do with the City of Monroe Police Department.
I've been with the police department for 28 years, and I'm the major over the patrol division. I worked narcotics back years ago. I rode the motorcycles, issuing tickets out when we first got them, and worked my way through the ranks and to be the major now.
I'll start, stay with you, Major Gutierrez. Let's talk a little bit about Monroe and as a police department. I'm sure there's crime everywhere, but talk to me about what is one of the major things that you're seeing right now in your patrol division in Monroe. Where's the crime, and what are we seeing a lot of right now?
What we're seeing a lot of is actually the vehicle burglaries, and people just leaving their purse, guns, or whatever in their vehicles unlocked and in plain view. Subject comes through the neighborhood, pulling on door handles, and if it's locked or whatever, he's looking in there to see anything he can steal. You can't really pinpoint them because they could be your neighbors. They could be somebody down the road. My deal is, what does a burglar look like? It could be anybody. So if you see something, you need to say something. A lot of people, what they're doing is they're putting all this on Facebook, but they're not contacting the police about it for nothing. I get home, my wife's like, so y'all had a burglary over here or something? I'm like, yeah, well, how did you know about that? Well, it's on Facebook. Nobody bothered to call the police, but they're putting it on Facebook.
Sergeant Beck, your experience, you've been doing this, I think you said 19 years in West Monroe. Is there more of a problem now over the last few years? Are we seeing more crimes, or what is your experience?
I think we are seeing more crimes. I think that with the way the media is now, and some of the promotions of different events and things, I think that the nature of policing has gotten much more difficult. As far as West Monroe versus Monroe, Monroe is a lot busier than we are, but they're also three times the size of West Monroe. In West Monroe, we have about 13,000 residents, but one thing we also have is 120,000 vehicles come through West Monroe every day. And Monroe also has that same problem. So we have everything from crime to traffic issues with our department.
On the end, Franz Hill's with us. Franz, you and I spoke this morning, and we talked about that. We were talking about, is there more crime, or are we just better at publicizing it on Facebook? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I have to agree that with Sergeant Beck in what does an offender look like? I obviously look like an offender because the last time I got pulled over, it took three police officers to subdue me.
We're going to talk about that a little bit. I want to ask you, you said something earlier this morning when we had a little conversation. You said people jumping to conclusions on Facebook, and we talked about people posting video on Facebook of folks that, you know, may have had it may have been the mailman or a package delivery guy, and sometimes folks are accused of things just because somebody put something out on Facebook. May or may not be true. Well, maybe no fact behind it.
Well, it's not just Facebook. It can be a phone call. It could be social media or whatever, but it puts our law enforcement officers in a particular bind, because if someone calls because they are uncomfortable or suspicious of someone, then the officers have to respond. That's just the way it is. That's their job. That's what they do. And I don't hold anything against the officers. They're doing their job. But perceptions have to be changed. When you live in a town where you have a elementary school named Robert E. Lee Junior High, named after a slaver and a sex trafficker, and you have armed Confederate soldiers marching down the street in the middle of Monroe, and then you wonder where do all these perceptions come from? Why is it that people feel uncomfortable when they see somebody unfamiliar walking down the street, and then put our law enforcement officers in harm's way? That's my perspective.
Well, we're gonna talk a little bit more about that, about social media, and it can play a good role. It could also be a bad thing at times. I want to ask Sergeant Beck, what are some of the things you're seeing in West Monroe? We heard some of the things we're seeing a lot of in Monroe, but what are some hot spots and issues that need to be addressed right now that you see every day?
We're seeing an increase in vehicle burglaries as well. We see a lot of people from Monroe coming to West Monroe. The gang type mentality has increased and been more visible, and people are becoming victims of opportunity. So criminals are looking for opportunities, such as the major just talked about with leaving items in their vehicles that's visible. And so we're wanting the public to be more aware of their surroundings and to include law enforcement in their lives in a positive way, to report what they need to report. If it's nothing to it, that's fine, but there may be something that they see that, once investigated, may solve a crime and prevent other people from becoming victims.
What, I just wrote down the word drugs. How big a drug problem do we have in Monroe for any of you three guys, and what role does that play in crime? Is that a major driver, or is it, you know, a background kind of thing?
No, absolutely. Drugs is still an issue. Alcohol-related offenses are still issues. One thing that West Monroe PD has is that we have two international drug recognition experts. I am one of those people that assess people that are under the influence of drugs and or alcohol or both. But we're seeing, I think with drugs, our thefts go up, our burglaries go up. The other thing that most people don't know, or I'm sure in this audience tonight, is, you know, I came here from Baltimore, Maryland. I have a master's degree in marriage and family therapy. Is why I came here. I still practice. I'm a licensed professional counselor, licensed marriage and family therapist. And I got involved in police work because I wanted to make a difference. And so as a police officer and a mental health professional, I see drugs as such a big problem. And people that are addicted to drugs or have issues with that, they'll do anything to satisfy that issue. And it becomes a disease. And so when they're trying to satisfy those issues, crime goes up.
Major, I just had a thought. We're getting close to the summertime. Do we see a spike around the holidays, around summertime? Is there a time of the year that things kind of kick up and get a little hotter for you guys as police officers?
Yes. During the summertime or getting close to summertime, definitely the holidays. During the holidays, like I said, people go out to their vehicle, they throw all this stuff in there, and they're being watched in these parking lots by the criminal out there. He knows where they're putting their purse. A lot of them will open the car door, walk to the trunk, pop their trunk from inside the door and put their purse inside the trunk, then go inside the store. Well, you just told him how to get in there, him or her to get in there. So they walk up to your vehicle, knock a window out, hit that button, steal your purse. You get home, you go looking for it, and you're like, well, I know I put it back here. We get called, we'll go back out to the business and try to review the camera. And like I said, by you locking it up once you get there, you're showing them how to get back in the vehicle and steal your stuff.
Franz Hill is with us, a resident, a business owner in the north side of Monroe. Franz, I want to bring up something, and it's something we need to talk about, as you said a moment ago. Monroe is a community that is predominantly Black. And sometimes I know folks stick out to police officers. I know folks, I stick out in my neighborhood when I walk around. They go, there goes that guy. How do we approach, as a community, racial profiling? I want to ask that question and throw that out there. How do we do it? There's going to be times where folks stick out to residents. How do we do that where we're not accusing folks or stirring up stuff against folks that maybe don't have something to do with the incident?
Well, I'd like to answer that, but first I'd like to respond to what the officers here just said about crimes of opportunity. In my particular neighborhood in the Garden District, which is an older neighborhood, where most of the people, when they come in from work every day, consign themselves to the back of their houses, and they can't see their cars, their garage, they can't see the bicycles laying out in the front yard. And also, because it's an older neighborhood, kids have matriculated through that neighborhood. Kids that went to Lee, Lexington, Neville, who may be strung out on drugs, who may have some problems, but they know how to go back to the old houses that their parents used to own, and they know the quickest and easiest way is to burglarize those areas. The Garden District has no bigger problem than any other area of the city, and I would argue even less. The attention has been put on the Garden District because of social media, and I've had patients come to me, and we're in conversation. I mentioned that I live in the Garden District, and they say, how do you live in such a crime-ridden neighborhood when I've only had a bicycle stolen since 2001? And many of my other neighbors have the same experiences in that peaceful, beautiful place. So I'm one of the reasons I'm here is because I'm offended in how the Garden District has been painted in social media. And I wish it would stop. I wish people would stop going onto our website, be it the GDNA or the Northside News or whatever it is, and reporting every little petty crime to make our property values go down. Now, that being said, as far as the racial profiling goes, it goes back to what I said about living in a town where we still have a school named after a slaver and a sex trafficker. That may offend many of you when I say that, but Robert E. Lee fought for slavery. He was born on my birthday, January 19th. I know all about Robert E. Lee. He went through 4 years of West Point without a single demerit. He was an excellent man. He just made the wrong decisions. And now we have a school named after him, and kids growing up, hopefully, I guess, to one day be a slaver and a sex trafficker. That's my cause, and that's one of my causes now, to get the name of that school changed. And two, the second cause is to not having armed Confederate soldiers, marching down our city streets and altering the perceptions and causing friction between Black and white in a city that's predominantly Black and up for, the census is coming up next year. And we only get to do that right once in 10 years.
Franz, I got a question from one of your I guess one of your neighbor residents on the Garden District area,
Dr. Bob Eisenstadt. Yes.
First of all, I'd like to say, Corey, you stick out because of that lush head of hair there.
What about mine?
So actually, this is for the whole panel, but primarily, I think, for the law enforcement officials. And by the way, I have family in Columbia, Maryland.
Okay.
So, hi, bro.
Hey.
My question is concerning the crime statistics in Monroe. We have, when you look at the crime stats, Monroe comes out being pretty high on the list. And we rank very high in terms of crimes per 100,000 per capita. I'm wondering if there's a reporting bias in a city like ours, both West Monroe and Monroe, because we live in such close proximity to each other. Do some of the crimes that are reported here tend to be overreported relative to other cities? You know, where you would have a mailbox knocked over by vandalism, and they might, oh, okay, the mailbox got knocked over. That's really unfortunate. But here, those things tend to get reported more, and so we kind of come up in the numbers as a consequence.
Well, my understanding is that most of the reporting is governed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And so we report everything that's reported to us. I can't speak for how Monroe works. I can just speak for West Monroe.
Yeah, so I guess my question is, and I get that, okay, that you report what has, your statistics are based on what has been reported using the uniform crime codes and so on. My question is that relative to other larger communities, do you think that our population maybe over-reports crimes that relative to what might be reported in other cities, which gives us a higher crime ranking, perhaps, than might otherwise have been expected?
I don't know that there's any way to determine that. It's all speculation. There's no way to know.
Well, Bob, that's an interesting point, because not only do our local law enforcement officials monitor what we do on social media, but so do federal officials. So if my neighbor reports that her mailbox got knocked over, it's on social media. It's available to local, federal, state law enforcement officials who can register that as part of their statistics. So just because you go down and make an official report, that doesn't mean that's the only thing that's going to be included in the statistics that are gathered by people who watch us.
We're going to talk a little more about social media in just a moment, but we're out of time for this segment. Invite folks on the radio and watching on video to stick around. We'll come back with more. We're going to talk about the bad things of social media, but we're going to talk about the good things and how police can use social media to help fight crime. Coming up in our next segment, you're listening to Policy in a Pint on 90.3 KEDM.